Hour 2 Overdrive continues, brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Brian Haziotto, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got role play level of concern in about a half an hour. So whenever that is on the docket, you can bank on hearing from Nicolas Cage, Marty Wildwood, right, or Rick Bushwood, whatever you choose to use as a moniker for our boy. And, yeah, we'll play the roles of many different people in many different scenarios. That's coming up in half an hour. Brian Burke will join us. And Brian's played the role of GM, president of hockey operations. He's been around the game for a long time, though, and I don't have to sit here and explain what he's all about, what he's accomplished. But he worked with Brad Treliving in Calgary.
Perfect guy to have on today.
Yeah, I believe he hired him. Yeah, he hired him to be the GM. That's right. So he went through this process. He played the role of Shanahan before Shanahan. And Treliving comes in. He's been at the front of the line really since the start of the process. You know, it feels as if this isn't breaking news. It's just confirmed news, right? Like Treliving has been interviewed. He's been in town. His name has been linked to the job. It feels like almost since day one. And now it's official. And is it groundbreaking? Is it out of left field? No. But is he a good GM that's had success in the league? Absolutely. Has he won the ultimate prize? No. So Shanahan and Treliving can't come out tomorrow and say, I'm going to do what I did here. Like, I don't think he can reference Calgary as an example of what he's going to bring here, because Calgary didn't win cups, right? So right. He's got to adapt. He's got to change. But I think he's a smart guy. I think it's a good, consistent hire for an organization that has been run well for a long time, right? Like this idea that they're in turmoil and that it's a mess and, you know, the rats are running wild. That's not been the case, and it's not true.
The rats are running wild.
And I think Treliving's going to step in and jump on a moving bus that, yes, has not won anything in the playoffs, needs change, but has been well-run and has been a respectable organization for a while.
And he should be hungry. Like, he's got to be hungry, too. But this is an opportunity for him. You know, here,
it's a new beast for him.
Hayes, you always say this, that people can cement their legacies in you know, this city if they have success. If they, you know, people, Kyle Dubas was on his way. A lot of people like him, including us. You know, he was on his way to cementing his legacy here, and he pivoted. They pivoted away from him. But, you know, here's a scenario for Brad Treliving to come in and continued, you know, it's like you said, an organization that has depth as far as the front office. It's got a lot of good pieces in place, and he needs to continue that on and put his stamp on this team.
Sure.
That's what he needs to do.
And, yes, he's worked in a Canadian market, but as you know, Noodles, living in both places, Toronto's a different beast than Calgary.
Yeah, 100%.
It's
the size of the market,
beast.
The passion. You know, Toronto, and Brian Burke can speak to it too, is – you know, Toronto's such a big animal. Calgary, you know, it's been more of a oil and gas, white-collar city. Mm-hmm. A lot of transient people come from other cities that move to Calgary. That's what I experienced when I first moved there. You know, I've had a couple tours of duty in Calgary and grew up, obviously, in Alberta. But, you know, Brian Burke can speak to both markets and how passionate they are.
Sure.
Just the size is different.
Well, let's bring him in here. He's the former GM of the Leafs and former president of hockey operations out there in Calgary, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, back on Overdrive. Here's Brian Burke. Thanks for doing this, Brian. We appreciate it. And obviously, you know, you're aware of this. It's coming up a lot with Treliving coming aboard. You know, he learned in Calgary, and he can apply it to Toronto. You know it better than anyone. You worked in both spots. How would you compare and contrast the two markets?
Well, I loved working and living in Calgary. Like Noodle said, it's a great place to live. People are wonderful. It was my favorite place to work in the NHL. And it's a passionate hockey market. They're knowledgeable. They love the game. They're dyed-to-the-wool Flames fans. Difference of scale, like Noodle just said. You're talking on a typical day on a Tuesday, if we didn't play a game, we would have maybe 20 reporters cover the, you know, three cameras and 15 beat and column guys doing stories. So it'd be a small group, couple of cameras. Toronto on a non-game day, it's 80 and 7 cameras. So, and on a game, like Hockey Night in Canada game on a Saturday night, it's over 100. And that's why, I don't think people realize, that's why dressing rooms are that big. They're for the media. Like, we don't need half that room in these buildings. And then on a typical day where you practice or play, you don't need any space. You'd really rather that the benches were closer together so guys could make eye contact and speak. My favorite rink in Europe is in Cologne, where at the practice rink, their practice rink is on rollers. So they practice and they make eye contact like we all did as kids. You're looking 10 feet away at a guy across from you, taping your shin pads and talking about the game. And then after the game, they move the rollers back about 15 feet so there's room for the media. But that's the difference, would be the scale.
Berkey, with Tree coming in, what do you think's imperative for a general manager coming into a new scene? Is it like a statement, a PR move, or just what he does with the hockey team as far as what his vision is and putting that into play as far as player personnel?
Well, it's a little bit of both, though. I think, you know, there is a PR side to this, and some people are better at it than I was, obviously. But I think if you can do something, you know, sign an unrestricted free agent and get some popularity points that way, one of the guys is well-liked, there's probably something you could do quickly to curry some favor that's in your best interest, not to do it just for PR, but generate some good PR out of it at the same time. It's probably a cheap, easy way to start. But then you've got major decisions, and I think you have to prioritize them, but I think they're pretty simple to prioritize.
In which way? Like what if you're looking at this job, what are the priorities?
Austin Matthews right away. Matthews. The coach can wait. Sheldon Keith's a good coach. He's done a good job. Maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't, but you can certainly say to them, I got to wait, Sheldon. You got to wait till after the draft. I got a lot of other stuff to do. Figure out Austin Matthews. Figure out Nylander going on a no-trade. Figure out a limited no-trade. Figure all that out. You got to wait a little bit, but that's an unfortunate part of the business. But he would have to be a viable candidate to survive this anyway.
Right. Well, and you know, you talk about messaging and PR. I'm curious, you know, where you stand on that in this market. When I consider, you know, the way you approached it, you were always accessible. You were always doing media, TV, radio, you know, newspaper, whatever it was. And with Dubas, with Kyle, by the end of his run, he didn't do any of that. He really was never made available. I don't know if that was his choice or the team's choice. If Tree Living called you up and asked for your advice on how he should go about, you know, being available, messaging, you know, what kind of advice would you give to him?
Well, I would disagree a lot about what you just said, Kevin, in terms of my accessibility, because I'm really happy to hear you say that people think I was accessible. I actually cut back my access dramatically after my first few weeks there and let the coach talk. So to me, the problem with Toronto is if the GM's talking all the time, the coach is talking all the time, people are confused. The players even are looking at, well, who are we listening to here? Listen to the coach or listen to the GM? So I cut way back. I think you're right. Early on I did. And on major stuff, I was always successful. That's, I think, a big difference in Toronto. There's a big trade or someone gets sent down or something major happens, that's where you have to be accessible. And that's where I think I would step in a crisis and deal with whatever needed to be dealt with. But I wanted the coach to speak to the team more than me and the players.
Berkey, we've been talking about it a lot, and you've been in a lot of different organizations now throughout your career, and you've been afforded a lot of different resources. So, you know, one thing that was pointed out is, you know, Tree Living comes to, you know, Toronto MLSE. It's a big corporation. Do you feel like the more resources you have, the better it is for a manager, or sometimes it might be overkill? You know, Calgary's different than you've been in Pittsburgh. You've been in Toronto. You've been in Anaheim, Vancouver. You know, every organization is built differently, but it seems like Toronto just has so many people in that front office. Is that an advantage or sometimes a disadvantage where you've got a lot of people that are pulling on you?
I never wanted the biggest staff. I just wanted the best staff. There's a huge difference. And in my mind, you can overkill, hire too many analytics people, hire 3 or 7 goaltending and consultants, and you can staff up and say, look at the staff we have, look at the expertise we've added. Fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, when we get to make a trade, I'm going to turn to 2 guys in that room, the assistant GM and the chief scout, and say, all right, what do you guys think? So in my mind, I remember my first board meeting with teachers when I came. I remember one of the board members said to me at the end, what else do you need? And I'd never had anyone ask me that in an owner's meeting before. said, what else do you need? I said, what do you mean? I thought he was talking about me. Do I need help getting the house or, you know, what do I need? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what else do you need? What else can we spend money on? And I burst out laughing. I said, I've never had an owner ask me that before. But that was the mentality. And, yes, it's nice you can address, like the Marleys. They travel with two buses. All right? Get this, though. You know what it's like, right? The Noodles, you guys played way back when briefly in the minors, if I'm not mistaken.
One game, Brian.
I was longer, though, Berkey.
two buses. So guess what? You have a little more room. It's nice. You have two buses. You think anyone else in pro hockey has two buses? No. So, yeah, it's a nice luxury. I would have said, there's no way we're doing two buses. Those guys can get in bed, get into the bus with each other and sit next to people like they're supposed to and get to know your teammates and enjoy it. So I think it's too much. Can you add too many people? Can it get too loud and too many decision makers in the room? Absolutely. And I was very cognizant of that. But I think it's a nice thing if you think, well, would be nice if we add Joe Smith. You can add Joe Smith and no one says, where's the budget on that? Where's the approval on that?
With Brian Burke. So how do you think you marry, like, the idea of making sure these players feel like, you know, they're comfortable, that they're treated well, that they have all the resources, but also make sure it's not like a coddling environment? Is that possibly what happens around the Leafs at times?
When I was in Anaheim, just to give you a convoluted answer, when I was in Anaheim, I think one player had a car deal, maybe two, probably Tamu and Scotty Niedermeyer had a deal where they got a car from the dealership and they had to do a couple appearances. In Toronto, every player's got a car deal, every single one. So I can tell you in Anaheim, Francois Beauchemin, who's a marvelous player for me, he never had a car deal. So it's always, you get coddled. Like, you want to buy a stereo, you work for the Leafs, they got a stereo guy. They got a guy who will come and set up the stereo and give you a 30% discount. They got a suit guy. They got a furniture guy. So they have a guy. You get coddled from the day you get there.
I don't know if that's coddling, Berkey. I think that's just, hey, I mean, I'm a broadcaster now, but if somebody says, hey, I got a furniture guy, he's going to give you a free couch. I'm taking a free couch.
Yeah, and my point is not, you take whatever you want. My point is, this is expected and handed to you in Toronto, where it's not a lot of other places. It's just not. It's a different scale. It's a different, and it's not all bad, like you say, oh, but it's not all good either. If everyone, guy loses 10 games in a row and he still get a free Porsche, and he's saying, what the hell? I'd like to get rid of this guy. Yeah, so Kevin, to me, there's a balance.
Yeah, Kevin never got that Sarnia, I'll tell you that.
Don't start with me. With Brian Burke. So in terms of Shanahan's role in this, because you played the role of Shanahan before he did when it comes to Trey Living, Brian, because you hired, you know, Trey Living back in your Calgary days. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors, reports about what Shanahan wants, what he wants to do with the players, what he wants to do with the coach. Who knows if it's vetted and it's true or not. But if you're Trey Living, or put yourself in those shoes, if you go into an interview with Shanahan and you have an understanding of what you think he wants, do you pitch him on that? Do you counter him? Like, how do you go about that process knowing that Shanahan is still at the top? And, you know, if he's going to get what he wants, he's going to get what he wants.
Well, understand how that has to work in my view is, I remember when I got hired by the Calgary Flames, I said to Ken King, the late, great Ken King, how's this supposed to work? Who's in charge? Am I in charge or is Tree? And he said, just imagine your business partners. He said, you're not going to walk in one day and tell your business partner, I'm trading so-and-so, or I'm taking a month off, or I just sold a warehouse. You're never going to do that. You're going to run it by your partner and get consent or some type of consensus. And then at the end of the day, the odd time you have to pull the trigger because you told him gently, I don't think this is a good idea, and you have to put your foot down at the end of it, that's a disaster if it comes to that. You've got to finesse that so it doesn't happen. It doesn't come down to where you're saying, no, I'm not approving this. Now, did I put my foot down just a couple times? And usually gently, usually let Tree have his way. But you get the message after four meetings where I said, I really think this is dumb, he would drop it.
Right.
I think that's how you do it, without a showdown. And Shanny's got to have the last say. The president of hockey operations has to have final say. And you're going to come to that day someday where he says no. But that's a disaster. Once that happens, it's like a government failing, right?
Yeah, that's I wanted to ask you about, you know, the strengths of Tree. You just mentioned the working relationship. You know, what can we expect for him coming to this market? And, you know, we all know he's affable, he's good in the media, but, you know, what would you say maybe one or two things that were are strengths of him as a manager?
Well, I think you got to go back to watching him as a player. When I met him, he was playing in the East Coast, or playing in the Western Hockey League. And we played our preseason game, and he fought Gino Ogic. Now, you say to yourself, how'd that go? It didn't go very well, but he fought him because he was trying to make his mark in training camp. Now, that's a guy, he had good PIMS everywhere he played. He was a well-traveled guy in the Western League and played in the coast. This is a guy who had to work for everything he had. This guy comes from a ton of dough, the Boston Pizza family, right? Mm-hmm. But he never acted like he came from a lot of dough, and they never treated like he came from a lot of dough. He was raised the right way. He was raised to earn what you had, be polite, listen, say thank you, and play hard and do everything you do hard. Started working in management when he worked in Columbus, selling tickets. Working in the off-season, selling tickets. How many guys do that? So he's worked at everything he's done. He worked at that new league they put together years ago. Worked in the when he went to Phoenix. He ran the league. They were in bankruptcy proceedings, so they had to go to Bill Daly for everything. He's just an impressive guy. So I think he's got budgeting strengths. I think he's got a clear picture of how to build a winning team. He's a good guy. Like you mentioned, that goes a long way. He can get people to trust him and listen to him. I think it's a great hire. I really do.
We're chatting with Brian Burke. You mentioned a few moments ago, you know, top of the priority list is Matthews. And his, you know, he's not a free agent this year, but he will be a year from July 1, and he can officially sign an extension as of July 1. I'm curious how, you know, he gets to the player, or if even that is a possibility, Brian. Like, does he just deal with the agent, or is the new GM, can he not call up Austin directly and chat with him about where he stands? And, like, how does that process possibly work out here?
Well, the first trip I made in Anaheim was the day that Scott Niedermeyer became a free agent. I flew to Cranbrook. And I flew to Vancouver and then took that small Dash 8 up to Canadian Air back then, I think, to Cranbrook and met with Scott Niedermeyer and said, Scott, what do you need? What are you looking for here? And he said, I want to play with my brother. I want to play in the Western Conference. I'm sick of the Eastern Conference, and I want a chance to win. I said, well, there's only one guy that he's going to talk to you that can check all those boxes, because I'm the only guy that can keep Robbie Niedermeyer here. And so I said, you got to deal with me. If that's your list, you got to deal with me. So if I were Tree, and I bet you he's already figured out, he's on a plane in the next day or so. Get through your media stuff in Toronto. It's a big burden the first couple days. Everyone wants an interview. Get through that and then get on an airplane and go sit down with Austin Matthews. Don't talk shop. Just talk hockey, personality, family. Talk about everything but business, and then go and meet with the agent.
Yeah, and I mean that's such a big part of the process, obviously. And you know, how do you see Matthews approaching this, Brian? Based on, you know, the negotiation in the past, how much he's already making, you know, is there middle ground here where he's going to get a raise, he's going to get a lot of money, but where the Leafs can possibly get a win out of this too?
I have no idea. Like, you're asking me, I don't know Austin Matthews hardly at all. I said hi to him a couple times. I have no idea what makes him tick or what he wants after this. I know he has said, at least in the media, he has said he'd like to stay. So that's a good starting point. I know he loves playing here in terms of how he's treated and the reverence that the fans have for him in Toronto. So I think that's a good starting point. Sit down with him and say, all right, if you want to stay, then we got to talk about an extension. What would it take? And see if there's middle ground there.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big part of the next month and a half. What about leading up to the draft? You know, they don't have a lot of picks. You know, how important is it to be on the same page with your scouting department? Does he have enough time, Trey Living, to bring in his own people? You know, or is it just such a quick turnaround where he's going to have to let the dust settle, you know, into the summer and maybe bring people in he wants to bring in?
You can – when I used to run the draft with Toronto, Vancouver, whatever, I would call a GM I trusted. So we would have our list, our scouts. I loved our scouts. I trust them completely. But I always say, I'll tell you my top five. You tell me your top five in no order. Go alphabetical. I'm not going to tell you who's my number one guy, but I'll tell you my top five are to get some sense that I had the list right. at least one of the GMs shared my view on the list. The list we were talking about was right. Tree's got contacts with enough guys. He can do that. They've got great scouts in Toronto. They'll be able to help him without that. But if he wants to double-check things, it's easy to do. I always did it.
Well, yeah. We're still going into the Cup Final here. We got to wait until Saturday night, Brian, but you got Florida, you got Vegas. One team's going to win the first Cup, you know, in their franchise's history. How do you see this one playing out? Who do you like going into a Cup Final?
Well, I think I'm going to give you a lawyer's answer, which is really means I'm going to wimp out and qualify everything. I would take Vegas. I think they're the better team. I think they're a deeper team. I think they're more weapons. And I think they've had a better year. They're playing an eighth seed that barely got in. If we had crapped the bed in Pittsburgh, they probably wouldn't have got in. So it's to me, now here's the two factors that change that equation where you'd say, okay, I'm taking Vegas. Well, Bobrovsky's been the best goalie on the planet for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Best goalie on the planet. Best goalie in the last couple of years, probably. So that changes the equation a little bit. Hey, not so fast, Bob. And then Patrick Tkachuk is single-handedly laying armies to waste by himself. Like, this guy's a one-man wrecking crew. So you got to temper their abilities. They're dominated more by a handful of players than Vegas is, but they got a warrior factor going and some belief going right now, so it's going to be tough. But if I had to pick, gun to my head, Vegas.
Yeah, well, we'll find out starting Saturday night. We always appreciate you finding time for us, Brian. We appreciate it, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See you all. See you in the roof.
Yeah, there's Brian. Brian Park. That might be the last time we have Berkey on.
I think
that's
it.
Probably the last time. Yeah, you can't just say goodbye to two guys on the way out. You can't. Like, you can't do it. I'm sure he won't lose sleep over it, but that's probably it.
Listen, it just...
And I was carrying the whole thing. You two idiots just sitting there bringing nothing to the table.
I felt like the guy...
What are you talking about?
Well, we were asking questions. It's just I needed to take a pause because the other guy decides to throw the word Kevin in there back to Berkey, and I'm like, you don't... Now it's like... I'm glad that they put Berkey up on the screen, because I was laughing very hard. But I mean,
of course, everyone is.
Listen, but it's not. Kevin Hayes is a hockey player. Like, it's not like it's, you know, random. It's just a Freudian slip. That's what
it's
it
all
is.
Good.
So
all right, role play level of concern coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You can never, never. Ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
All right, here we go. Role play level of concern. We haven't played this in a while. We know the way it works, right? We're all assigned a person or a thing or a scenario. We go around the table, and we place a level of concern on it. Pine on the patio, no concern, all the way up to Nick Cage and everything in between. Very simple stuff. All right, let's get rocking here. Oh, you're playing Leaf fans that want massive change. What is your level of concern that the coach and the core four are coming back?
So that is the main concern, that everything's going to be the same.
Yep, you're playing Leaf fans that are dying for change. Core four's got to be broken up. Keefe's got to go. Change the whole complexion of the team.
I'm not concerned about this because if I'm a Leaf fan, I think that there's going to be proper changes. I don't know if it's like a six-pack, maybe only a couple of beers, because I think anybody that's been watching this has different ideas and views on how things should be done, and there would have to be changes, Hayes. So if I'm that fan wanting change, I would almost think it would have to happen.
Yeah.
Then why, like, if it doesn't happen, why is there a new general manager?
We'll talk about that off
the top of the show.
Yeah. There's no,
how could
Shanahan,
you have?
Shanahan's running it and wants that, and yeah.
But I don't know if there was a disconnect between Dubas and Shanahan. That'll never come out. Maybe years from now, but it just, I feel like there will be change. Even Dubas in his year end that Monday said like everything's on the table. To me, that intimated that, you know, I'll look at every different type of deal that comes through. So,
I think Shanahan liked that. In retrospect, he didn't want him to speak. And
I don't think he liked much about it.
I don't think he liked about anything about that conversation, because he actually said, I asked him not to speak because we wanted to get the deal done and things sorted out. And then he said, everything table, I'm not sure if, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not sure if my head is in this, concerned about my family, all of that type of stuff. Like, that was the crux of that conversation, or that year-end presser for Kyle Dubas, where there was so much to pull out of that. Like,
yeah. Well,
you know,
it was the beginning of the end.
It really was. It was
the beginning of what's been kind of a wild few weeks. All right, Noodles, you're playing Gary Bettman, Commissioner Gary Bettman. What is your level of concern that the long delay and these non-traditional markets will be a buzzkill come Cup final time?
I'm Marty Wildwood.
Six Busch Light, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
Two things. The non-traditional market, I get it. You know, one-offs, it's exciting. And, you know, for those markets, so you talk about the parity in the league. The long layoff, like, let's get going here. You know, basketball's right back at it. Like, to me, I feel like, you know, now you're waiting till Saturday. It's going to stretch. If I think the last day, if it goes to the Cup, like, if it goes to Game 7, it's like, isn't that June 17th, did I read?
Yeah.
Like, it's something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that's a long time. Like, I would like to see them go right at it. Again, I know you've got to give Vegas a little bit of time because they got it done in Game 6, but
it's too much.
I don't know.
How many stop and chats? Like, why aren't they playing? You would think about weekend kind of viewer. Get them going Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Why is that not happening?
Get them going immediately. Like, now
Thursday,
the
Saturday.
On.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's no reason they can't play tomorrow. Monday, Game 7 was on Monday.
Yeah.
You're telling me Vegas can't go back at it Thursday night at home? No,
but they've
less?
Always kind of been like that, where it's like there's got to be a certain time slot where it starts. Forget that, man. How many stop and chats and excitement have you heard from people just walking?
There's
nothing.
Nobody saying,
I get the random comment.
Out.
This is all I get.
Nobody.
Who do you like? And it's like, maybe Florida. And that's it.
Yeah. That is it.
I agree. So Marty Wildwood, maybe I should have gotten Nick Cage, but I think Wildwood, there is, the league probably is happy that, you know, Vegas and Florida, the non-traditional, especially Florida with attendance and some of the struggles they've gone through.
Oh, it's a big prop up for them.
Yeah, it is a big prop up. You're right.
For sure. But it also, you know, you're talking, the media is driven in Canada and the Northeast. Like,
right.
That's really what, and you're talking South Florida and Vegas. So it'll still be covered appropriately. It's a Cup final. Like, everyone's going to be invested in that. But it's, you know, it's different. It is certainly different. All right, I'm playing the role of Vladdy Jr. What is my level of concern that my home run prowess was a one-year wonder? That one year where we know he hit all those home runs. Last year he had 32. This year he's got 8. He has still not hit a home run at the Rogers Center.
Wow.
That is wild.
That's,
like,
crazy.
Pardon me?
He has not hit a home run at home. And, like, FanDuel has a prop that you can play.
That.
Yeah. Exactly. He's on pace for, I believe, under 30 home runs on the season. Still a good, you know, power hitter, but not great. Not anywhere close to elite. And you can play when he's going to hit a home run at the Rogers Center on FanDuel. It's playing plus 300 tonight, plus 700 when they play Houston. Like, you can go all the way into June and get, like, plus 4,400 for a game against the A's. Like, it's wild. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. There it is up on TSN 2. And I don't even know where you'd sprinkle money, because, like, it wouldn't be shocking at all if he hit a home run tonight.
I was just going to say, like, how about tonight?
Yeah, of course. I think that's probably the safe money, right? I think Peter DeBoer will like hearing that. But my level of concern is, I'll say Marty Wildwood.
Six Busch Light, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
Because that big season, like, everything was going out. But as a lot of people pointed out during that season, there were a lot of home runs in Buffalo that year. There were some home runs in Dunedin. You know, I don't think the way he hits the ball, the way he approaches the ball, you know, his swing, he's going to be a great hitter for a long time. But 40-plus, like, elite home run hitter, I don't think that's who he is.
How old is he, 24?
Yeah, he's in his mid-20s. You know,
when is the cutoff date for him to establish himself as an elite kind of long ball hitter?
I think it's still probably a couple of years, because we've seen it do him once, right? Like, he did it the one time. He had an unbelievable 46 home runs. Last year, 32. Right. That's not something to sleep on.
No, but I scored 41 goals one time. That doesn't make me a 40-goal scorer.
Right, exactly. And is trending towards more like 25 to 30 a year, 35, and that's a different category. It just puts you in a different spot.
Too. Financially, oof, too.
Financially, it definitely
costs you some money, right?
Yep, it definitely can be. All right, oh, you're playing the role of Live Golf haters. Haters. What is your level of concern that they'll be allowed to play in the Ryder Cup?
My level of concern that they'll be allowed to play in the Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
I played that because I think the shine's come off the hatred and the vitriol and all that stuff, and I just think it's gotten to a point where it's like they're doing their thing, we're doing ours. Everyone wants to put on the best Ryder Cup and the best majors possible. So if they can qualify, that's going to be the difficult thing to how you're going to establish how they qualify for these events. Because if guys are grinding it out on the regular tour, how are those other guys going to qualify for a Ryder Cup? Unless the captain of the team just says, that guy's a stud, he's on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think the kind of... Like when John Rahm comes out and just says, let them play.
Right.
Like it's just, yeah. It's getting to a point where they're all going to say that, because when you're associated with the Ryder Cup, everyone wants it to be the best event.
Well, that hasn't come up enough, that it's all about politics and all that. The guys who are on the team, they want to win.
No
right?
kidding. And that USA team that went to Wisconsin, I what
yeah,
was
Whistling
the name
Straits.
Of that? Whistling
dummied
Straits.
Them.
They dummied them. I'm pretty sure... After years of the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Steve Stricker, with that era getting dummied, I'm pretty sure they want to keep that team together for a couple more times so they can put some beatdowns on Europe, because
yes.
they got it handed to them so many times.
Yeah, absolutely. And Europe's going to need some help, right? Same thing with the President's
Cup. Oh, that Europe team's going to be terrible for a long time. They've got nobody coming up the pipe.
It doesn't feel like it. Like Adrian Meronk could be a big part of their future. That guy bombs it and he takes 25 seconds to hit. I can't believe I just used that name on the show. I think that's a first. Adrian Meronk. He might
yes.
even wear squares.
Well,
he
think of a guy squares. Like DJ. That DJ, I think he didn't lose a
five
match in the Ryder. Yeah, 5-0.
All he does is
imagine
dominate.
Him not being there. He's yeah, unreal well, in the Ryder Cup.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And the same thing again with the President's Cup as well, where you got a lot of really good South American players that are at Live Golf. Like they need you need that, right? President's Cup is coming to Canada in 2024.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you asked Trevor Immelman, he was like, we kind of made it a bit of a fight in the Saturday. Maybe if we had some more quality guys here,
yeah.
we would like Cam
How about
Smith.
Cam Smith? Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, might want to have
Cam
Smith, Leishman. You might want to have those guys. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, Noodles. You're playing the role of Canadian hockey teams.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet earlier today that since 93 there have been as many Canadian teams make the cup final as now teams from the state of Florida, because Tampa's been there 5 times and Florida's now been there 2. There have been 7 Canadian teams in the cup final in 30 years. That is a wild statistic.
Yeah.
Wild and wildly embarrassing. Let's call it what it is. Wildly embarrassing for the country. But what is your level of concern that the state of Florida will win more cups in the next 5 years than all of the Canadian teams combined?
In the next 5 years?
Yes, I guess you have to include this year, too, with Florida already punching a ticket to the cup final.
Right, and what if Florida wins this year?
Exactly.
Like that's, I
got to
say,
spot.
I mean, I'm, I was going to say Marty Wildwood, but I might say play it.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Because Tampa, I'm sorry, like Tampa's not going away.
No,
that,
they're not.
That core is not 38 years old. You know, they're not Pittsburgh's core. Like Vasilevsky's 29 and they come in 30. Like they're
going to have to find a way to insert some youth and life into it, though, Noodles. Like they got to get some more players.
Well, that's right. But I mean, that's what they'll be able to shuffle. Like that manager, that whole group. Like as far as the front office, they're sharp people. Like I don't think the spine of the team is under contract and they're still top tier players. So Tampa could be right back there. And, you know, I don't know what Florida does. They might win the cup this year. I don't think they're
exactly. And they put that in the bank. You know, why is a Canadian team all of a sudden going to snap out of it in the next 5 years?
Yeah,
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it but, should have been Marty Wildwood, but I gave it the
no,
the
I think that's reasonable. I do. I think it's reasonable. I mean, it sucks that it's a reality, that the Canadian teams, and there's so many different theories on why it hasn't happened, but I think at the forefront of it is, outside, I'd say, that Vancouver team in 2010, Canada's never had, like, the best, clear-cut best team in the league. They've had great, great teams, very good teams.
Yeah.
But outside of the Vancouver team, you can't look at the Leafs at any point, Edmonton at any point, Montreal, and say, no doubt, they're the best. They are the best, and they're going to take runs at it for years.
I'll say this. I'm going to try and make a case tomorrow for that 0-4 team in Calgary against Tampa, where, you know, the disallowed goal in Game 6, the Marty Jelena, mm-hmm. you know, that team was a lot deeper than people think. You had Ginla and Kiprusoff. They had a really hard team to play against, really good quality defensemen.
So give us a tease. What is the case, though, that they were actually elite? Like, it wasn't an underdog story?
I would say it was an underdog. Like, Tampa, like, the Calgary could have won the Cup that year, and they actually might have won the Cup if there was a, you know, potential not called back goal. Like, you know, the parallax angle or whatever explained.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting. I thought that 0-4 team was really deep and really sharp.
Yeah.
Right? Tampa deserved it. Like, listen, Tampa won the Cup. I'm not taking it away from them. I'm saying that 0-4 team was pretty damn good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were, for sure. All right, I'm playing the role of the next head coach of the Toronto Raptors. What is my level of concern that I'll be held to the standards of Nick Nurse and it will be a challenge to meet them? I'm actually low on this. Yes, the shadow of Nurse is going to be hanging around, for sure. He won a championship. He had a great run. People love him. You know, it's very difficult to follow a guy like that. Very difficult. But you're not taking over the same team Nick did when he took over. That's why I'll say I'm like a six-pack and a shot or two. It's, yes, that is the direct connection. Same thing with Trey Living. It'll be, well, Dubas would have done this. Like, that's going to go on for years.
Right.
And the next coach in Toronto with the Raptors would be, well, Nurse didn't do that. Nurse wouldn't do this. Right. Different people, different approaches. But Nick Nurse was very, very lucky to get the job when he got the job. He got it before they acquired Kawhi Leonard. Like, that's, you look back on that, man. He was hired and then they got Kawhi. So, you know, I think people are going to be reasonable with what to expect with whoever the next head coach is going to be. So there you go. Role play level of concern.
One thing Nurse Hayes demanded was, and I think a lot of people appreciated that, was just, you're going out there and you're going to work your ass off. And that's the bottom line. Attention to detail, defense. Like, he wasn't just like fancy stuff and trick plays. He was a lot about work, man.
Yeah, that's what he hammered home. And he played his top guys a ton. Like, well, Joel Embiid.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah. Well, there's reports out there that Fred VanVleet is now linked to Philly. Right. If Harden's going to leave, maybe Fred follows Nurse down there. Like, Fred and him were always on the same. He always was speaking kind of on behalf of Nurse. But, right. Like, the two of them were very close, clearly.
Let me ask you, though, where is Harden going to go? Where is Harden going to be?
Back to Houston is the rumor.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Did he wear the fat suit to get out of there?
Too.
Like, wasn't that, where was the, you
it's
know, like.
Three-ring circus. Yes, it was Houston. Remember, he showed up and he was a mess, and then all of a sudden he gets to Brooklyn and he loses, like, 40 pounds overnight.
Yeah.
Or it looked that way.
It looked. It's just, again, it was just a look.
Yeah.
But it just, honestly, like, why would you want to go back there? Maybe grass isn't greener on the other side type of thing? Like, what's,
yeah, I don't
what's
know,
his
man.
Thought process?
I don't know. Like, he's obviously been around the block now. He's been all over the league.
He likes he likes some stuff in Houston.
There are reports that he's fond of establishments in Houston. There are places in Houston that he likes.
Yeah.
Loves
is probably a more appropriate way of putting it. All right, Pierre LeBrun coming up, and Steve Phillips on the Jays back in action tonight. What he's seen out of Pearson, what he met out of Kikuchi last night, when will Vladdy hit a home run at the Dome, and Alec Manoah on the mound tonight. We still got our picks courtesy of TaylorMade for the Memorial this week. Great field down there. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we got a pair of tickets to give away to the RBC Canadian Open. A classic emerges at Oakdale Golf and Country Club as it gets set to host the RBC Canadian Open June 6th through 11th right here in the heart of Toronto. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets. All right, why don't we go with caller 5. Caller 5 right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 5 is going to catch any round you want to go catch, right? This weekend, it's going to be beautiful down there at Oakdale, and you can catch the best golfers in the world as they battle it out at Canada's lone PGA Tour stop. Also back this year is the RBC Music Concert Series featuring Grammy Award winners Black Eyed Peas and Alanis Morissette. First Up and Overdrive will be broadcasting live on-site all week. And the course is going to be in great shape. It is in great shape. It's an awesome place. And Rory's coming up. Be a lot of great Canadians. Justin Rose is coming up. Sam Burns, my boy Sahith Theegala.
Great recovery on the rink hole.
Yes. You're right.
14?
Chunk out of the sand. And
he hit a shot. It was unfortunate. Caught a lip, bounced back in the bunker, and then he duffed one, and then he absolutely stoned one dead from the bunker like a tour player.
Yeah, it felt good. Walked away with a bogey. The way we were playing yesterday, that felt like basically a net hole in one.
Dude, you have no idea. I felt like I was dipped in holy water today. I had to do it. I had to get back out there and do something that looked like golf. I had to do it.
I know. I'm nervous. I haven't.
Dude, I was too. I was like, what if I do that again, what I did yesterday?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So your swing gets out of whack or, you know, you're out of sync because you're doing different things because you're just playing a totally different style of course and, you know, from different tees and everything was different. Like that's Oakdale was set up to punish us yesterday.
Dude, we got to just say what tour players say. Beautiful facility. Didn't fit my eye.
That's right. And it will fit somebody's eye. Someone's going to make a lot of money next week.
Dude, someone's going to have to golf their ball, man.
Yep, for sure.
When are you playing at Hayes? Aren't you playing?
Pro-Am a week today. Yeah, a week today. And it sounds I know I'm playing with a couple of people. One, you know, two in particular that I think these two are going to be involved in our four-pack. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you more about that next week once it's confirmed. And obviously I have no power over that. Whoever is playing. And if I show up and I get the go-ahead, go time. We'll lock it in. So I'm getting nervous about that, though. Like, my rep at the Pro-Am, right, is so intact.
And there's a buzz. Yeah,
it's so elite.
Are you going back out there with your boy, Nicky Taylor?
No, we don't know the pro. I'm talking about who else is going to be in our group, right? So, we'll see. We'll see. And hopefully I can have more info on that next week. You guys want to fire up the picks for the Memorial? This is a great field, too. Great track.
Yes.
Right? It's a big one. The Overdrive PGA picks are brought to you by 20 Weeks of TaylorMade, the Golf Talk Canada Fantasy Golf Pool. All right, neither of us were even close last week. Like, Emiliano Grillo was not on the short list of who we were looking at. But
this is elevated, correct?
Yes. It's huge field, huge money. You know, all the big boys are there. It is go time.
Well, it's a coin flip to get one or two. A coin flip to get one or two guys.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
I'll take Rahm because of what we talked about earlier this hour and what he's done at this course, and then he got pulled out because of COVID. I think he's looking to get back into form. I'll take John Rahm.
I'm taking Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, that's the play all day.
Although the guy's putting, he claims he's working on it nonstop, and it's not happening.
He's a T20 machine, though. He has not missed T20 since something like, you know, like the fall of 21 or something like
that's
that.
That's just money every week. Every week this
guy shows up, and he's in contention, and if he wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he walks away with a massive amount of money.
Wow.
Like so when you take Scheffler, you know he's in contention, even if the putting's not there. I will take Cantlay because of what he's also done on this course, right? Horses for courses. Or the other way around.
He does play well there.
Yeah, he loves that place.
I got to think Rory is going to snap out of it sooner or later. This is usually the time of year where he kicks it into gear. Rory, and on top of that, I'm going to take a guy that I think has been invisible this year, Justin Thomas.
Yeah, JT has not played well. Like, he just hasn't been in the running at any
point.
Dude,
not even sniffing.
No, and I'll take a guy that's kind of in a similar spot who I've been waiting to get cooking, and he's coming up here next week. And if he comes
Morikawa.
Up victorious, no, I'm going to go Sammy Burns. Sam Burns, Team RBC. He'll be up here next week. It's my boy. I might get paired with Sam next week. Who knows?
I'm going to go Spieth Enthigala as my last two picks.
Okay, so how many more picks do I have?
I have five. I only have five players.
You have five? Okay. Do I have two more noodles? I don't know. I don't think anyone's paying attention anyway.
I do. I've been trying to write them down, but it's moving quick.
So. I'm going
to
go. I'm waiting for this. At some point, this guy's going to win. I say it almost every week or every
Sungjae?
No. Cameron Young.
Cameron Young.
It's a Bombers golf course. I expect him to bomb the ball, and I think he's in contention. And then on top of that,
take Sungjae. You got to get back on the horse.
I can't.
You got to get back on the horse.
I can't, and I won't. Shoffley, give me Xander. Give me Xander Shoffley.
We overpick. It's an overpick for both of us.
Yeah, he's in contention a lot. Like he's like the Leafs. He punches a ticket. And then it doesn't work, and they come up with, oh, Bob stopped us this time. Oh, it was this. You know, there's always a reason.
Carey Price, there's always
something,
right?
Exactly. Make PGA Picks weekly for your chance to win the 20 weeks of TaylorMade Fantasy Golf Pool, over $40,000 in TaylorMade product, plus a trip to Casa de Campo Golf Resort. Enter now at golftalkcanada.com. Steve Phillips, Pierre LeBrun coming up, final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.